Betches.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Media presents.
Madam Speaker, Madam Vice President.
You want to hang out with us? Get your vaccine.
And so I went to human resources.
There's some things I just can't tell you on air.
The Betches Sup Podcast.
A woman's problem, if you will.
Hello, I'm Amanda Duberman.
I'm Elise Morales.
And I'm Caitlin Bird.
And this is the Betches Sup Podcast. We're C-SPAN. We use the group chat to help you process and laugh at the biggest topics in U.S. news and politics. Today is December 15th, Wednesday. I feel like we can officially give 2021 our two. Bouncing the hell out of here.
Let's do it.
It's ended. Or it's ending.
Do you feel some type of way about it? I feel nothing. I'm ready to just slip into 2022.
2021 and 2020 are like completely, basically the pandemic, I think forever will just, whatever, however long this thing turns out to be, will feel like 1 year to me. I think is how this is going to go. So there's really no delineation for me between 2020 and 2021.
So we're going into the 25th month of 2020.
Yes. Yeah, it's one big, long 2020. That feels about right,
Yeah, I definitely relate to that. So we have a animal-heavy episode today. I want to talk about some zebras. I want to talk about Elise's puppy. And I want to talk about Elon Musk and Joe Manchin. Sticking on theme. We talked about Elon Musk a little bit yesterday, and I really do try hard not to repeat topics. And it's hard because sometimes I have to say no to my beautiful hosts when they're like, oh my God, I really want to talk about this thing that happened 2 days ago. And I'm like, oh, we can't. But I'm breaking my own rule. And today we're going to talk about Elon Musk again. But in the meantime, how is Rusty Morales Grow settling in to the big city?
Wow. Rusty is doing incredible. Thank you to everyone who has sent messages about how cute he is. He is extremely cute. Having a puppy is a trip, man. It's crazy. He's extremely, extremely cute. He's like a demon terror. We switch off sleeping on the floor in front of his crate every night, because we're trying to get him to sleep. Biz, the cat, is very, she's very chill with it. I mean, I would say she's lukewarm on him in general, but she doesn't have, like, an aggressive stance towards him, and I think she would play with him, but he gets so excited anytime that she even remotely engages with him at all that he blows it with her every time. We're like, if you could just play it cool for 1 second, I think that she would play with you, but he got close enough to lick her nose, and then he did.
That's amazing.
And then she let him lick her nose, and then he got so excited he started jumping and flipping all over the room and like barking so much, and she just left. She was like, "Okay, freak," and like
it's like my first kiss, and he just
I mean
lost
literally,
it.
And she's just like. Okay. Oh, she just leaves the room.
Yes, like, yes, that does. That sounds like my first date with Mike, pretty much.
Yeah.
Oh, that's adorable. Sounds like it's a healthy, happy puppy, though. You never want to hear like, yeah, my puppy's kind of sad and he just sits around. That's bad news. No. But they are supposed to sleep a lot, but he's just like, sometimes they don't. Does he sleep
most
more of the day?
I'd say I'd love it if he slept more.
Yeah. Oh, very exciting, very exciting. Yeah, I said that, I mean, we're going to talk about paid leave here, but paternity leave is definitely real. It's necessary.
Yeah.
It's no joke.
Yes. I will say that Amanda maybe had us record a little later today in honor of my paternity.
I anticipated that we might want some breathing room because we have a real tight situation some days with the newsletter and podcast, which, you know, we usually manage smoothly, but when you throw in a newborn.
Yeah.
A puppy,
it is
rather.
Tough. Yeah. And he is a newborn puppy. He's 3 months old.
As it came out of my mouth, I understood why parents get annoyed comparing children to puppies.
Yeah.
No, but having a puppy is no joke.
As a baby.
Don't worry. Nobody's saying that. So we're going to hit on a few stories this morning. Elise is going to start us off with another zoonotic update. Do you want to take us through? Elise, I did find some additional information about this morning that people might find upsetting, so I just want to warn you as you're reading through it.
Okay, yeah, unfortunately, the only fun news story of 2021, sometimes not actually very fun. So everyone has been DMing me. I have seen your DMs. We are going to talk about the Maryland zebras, obviously, today. I regret to inform you that the Maryland zebras have been captured. They've been found. They are no longer running free in the suburbs of Maryland. They have been recovered after their 4-month rumspringa. Do you guys know what a group of zebras is called?
Oh yeah, I was gonna pose this to you guys because I do know. Do either of you know?
I thought I was like, Amanda put this in the outline, but she didn't put the answer.
Yeah, I gave you my line. Do either of you know?
I have no idea.
I want to guess that it's something like a glimmer of zebras or something.
Ooh,
like that.
That sounds lovely. It's not. It's a zeal.
A zeal. Yeah. I like glimmer, though.
I like glimmer. It feels like it just fits even more than zeal.
Right?
A zeal of zebras. A zeal of zebras. So here's more background on the zebras, and then I want to get your analysis and commentary, Caitlin and Elise. So for months, they've been spotted in backyards. Family have gone on like suburban safaris. 2 zebras are back home. Remember, 3 escaped in total, but a third was killed in an illegal snare trap. So there's this is cloudy. The Department of Education has said only that they've been returned.
Sorry.
Oh, yeah. What did I say?
Education. They're involved.
The Department of Ed is involved. The Department of Environment said only that they'd been returned. Not like recovered or recaptured. They said returned, which is sketchy to me. Did somebody take them and then return them? No, because they were like on the lam. They returned themselves, I guess.
It's very strange to me because the last update we had was that they were potentially going to try to lure the zebras using more zebras.
Yes,
so
exactly. There's been a lot of inconsistent information about this because I also heard that like the farm owner was involved in trying to get the zebras back. Apparently, he did not care. This farm owner has not been a very helpful actor in all of this. The farm where these zebras lives, he has all sorts of stuff. It's real Tiger King energy. It's owned by a 76-year-old man who was actually charged with animal cruelty earlier this month when a zebra was found dead on his farm. This was in addition to the zebra found dead in the snare trap just outside his farm. I don't like this.
Why
Something's
does he
happening.
Have so many zebras?
I don't know. I think he like breeds them. I don't even know if it was like, I think I'd been referring to it as like a sanctuary because to me that's the only acceptable reason to have zebras.
It's exactly Tiger King energy. It's exactly Tiger King situation.
Yeah, this has apparently happened to him more than 50 times where he's had infractions for like not treating
the zebras.
Exotic animals.
Well, see, and this is why I said we need to let them roam free. Let them be free in Maryland. They
well,
had a better life when they were free. Where are they going now?
Good point. I mean, 4 months. If an animal can survive 4 months in a habitat, maybe that's where it can be. Maybe, I mean, at least you pitched this 4 months ago, but maybe these can be like the chickadee ponies.
Yes, this is what I think that this is a missed opportunity for Maryland to have just let there be zebras. I think that this guy obviously doesn't have a great farm. I think they should release all the zebras on that farm and just let there be zebras in Maryland. We've had so many boring invasive species that aren't even fun. Let there just be zebras in Maryland.
Yeah. I bet a person could run for Congress for that area just on let's keep the zebras.
There are some weird little pockets in Delmarva where you could definitely win on a like we're gonna do the zebra thing.
Yeah. So as promised, we're gonna come back to Elon Musk. What were your guys' reactions to seeing he'd been named Time Person of the Year?
Absolute disgust, frankly. It was like being given a bowl of mayo instead of, like, food. Like, yeah. You go to a restaurant, mushy. They're like, oh, here's the food. And it's like just a bowl of mayo.
Yeah, I can't do anything with this. This won't feed me.
There were just a lot of legitimately inspiring people last year, which you guys got into. And also, like, he's not even the only person who went to space.
Right.
Like, no, that's, like, his thing. Like, kind of his big accomplishment of the year is, like, other people are doing that. So I just find him very distasteful.
He really doubled down on, like, he didn't try to bring anyone over to his side yesterday, whatever that is. Because as we talked about on the podcast yesterday, like, the reason for not liking it, like, it's kind of diffused because there are also a lot of people who really, like, idolize them. And I feel like there's, like, a Venn diagram of, like, people who probably, like, agree with us on a lot of things, but also maybe, like, I don't know, I know lots of people that, like, listen to everything Elon Musk says so that they can watch their Tesla stock, you know? But, like, that doesn't mean he should be person of the year.
Yeah, I mean, it be,
what do you find, what do you find most objectionable, like, about Elon Musk?
Oh, that he's always, like, I'm a meme. Yeah, it's definitely like that where he'll, like, I don't know.
Exactly, exactly.
It's the abusive labor practices and stock market manipulation for me.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
I have the same beef with him the SEC does, basically.
Yeah. Yes.
So he really doubled down after we recorded the podcast. He started trolling Elizabeth Warren, and we don't accept that here. Warren tweeted yesterday, let's change the rigged tax code so that the person of the year will actually pay taxes and stop freeloading off everyone else. Musk replied with a thoughtful explanation of the economic rationale on which he bases his rejection to billionaires like him paying more taxes. Just kidding. He did not do that. He insulted the 72-year-old senator from Massachusetts and former presidential candidate and Harvard Law professor. He told her, this man's like 52 or 55, I think. But he said, you remind me of when I was a kid and my friend's angry mom would just randomly yell at everyone for no reason. Before he called her Senator Karen and invited her to speak to the
manager. Was this his childhood in South Africa under apartheid where his father owned a emerald mine? Or was it a different childhood?
Yeah, who was your friend's angry mom? I'm really curious about who that actually was.
I mean, also, that's not what a Karen is. A Karen isn't just a lady that you don't like. That's not what it is. And she's not yelling at everyone for no reason. She's yelling at you because you don't pay taxes. So,
and you abuse workers on top of it. It'd be like one thing if it, like, he actually had an argument where he was like, I am actually creating, like, with the jobs I create are livable, wonderful environments. But he's being sued by multiple people for hostile work environments on top of just regular, like, forcing people to work during the pandemic without appropriate safety protocols, doubling and extending shifts. Like, he's a bad person. Mm-hmm. On, like, just anything economic, he doesn't even have an argument where he's like, actually, what I'm doing is better for people than the alternative of another billionaire. Like, no, you're not. You're literally the worst version of everything at all times.
Yeah.
And on top of it all, he'll tweet, like, meme the stock market. And, like, then, like, the something will happen to the economy. Like, I can't. I don't.
I've had enough,
like,
of him.
Like him very much.
I've had enough of him. But he doesn't strike me as the type of person who goes away when you give him attention. So thanks a lot, time.
No.
So this is actually sort of related to our next conversation because he also, Elon Musk also, I believe, tweeted this week, just was like, senators, don't pass, build back better.
Elaboration. He also will, like, try to dunk on tweets that are like, billionaires should pay their fair share. And he's like, a few. And it's like, so you literally oppose the idea of paying your fair share. You're not even going to argue, like, no, I do pay my fair share because of da-da-da. He's just like, no, I shouldn't have to pay.
Yeah, he really likes to, because, like, some people are, I mean, there has been years where he really doesn't pay barely any taxes. Like, personally, I believe that's true. But he just loves to point out that one part where he's like, no, you say I don't pay any taxes. This year I paid more taxes than any American ever. Because I believe something with his financial situation is changing where he's finally going to have to pay more taxes. And I guess he's just, like, having a public tantrum about it, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, yes. And it's like, I don't know.
I'll share the upsetting, the sort of unnerving fact we talked about yesterday, which is that, did you know Elon Musk has 7 children and that they are all sons?
Yeah. Elon Musk has 7 sons?
7 sons. Yeah, that's some medieval shit.
The 7 sons of Elon Musk.
No. It's like, terrifying. Oh, no.
That sounds like a fantasy like series that's like really scary.
So we're going to spend the next like couple minutes of the show talking about paid leave, which the version that's being proposed right now, which we're going to get into, would cost about $200 billion over 10 years. This man is worth much more than that alone. Certainly is over 10 years. I mean, the defense budget they just passed is like, what is it? Almost $800 billion over 1 year. I mean, $200 billion is like probably just like the bottom of a shoe. So throughout the late summer, we've had like a lot of moments of like urgency around the bipartisan infrastructure bill and this big Democratic reconciliation bill. The BIF has obviously passed and become law. The House has since passed a version of Build Back Better that does include 4 weeks of paid leave. Joe Biden and Chuck Schumer want to pass this by Christmas. Chuck Schumer actually like formally endorsing paid leave hadn't actually really happened before, but he recently did that. Christmas is only in 10 days. And it just kind of strikes me as unusual that we're not really hearing much about this. There's usually a lot of urgency around these self-imposed deadlines, like, oh my God, Dems in disarray. What are they going to do? So I wonder, like, why isn't this happening? Is there a messaging problem, or does it just show us that these messages and this like hysteria is completely media created? And like, if the media isn't really paying attention to it or hyping it up, there's not really much happening.
What's going on with this? They just said that they were going to table it.
They
were not going to try to get it done by Christmas because Manchin and Biden are really far apart on the child tax credit, which Joe Manchin is a huge fan of child poverty. The people, when I say things like he would let your kid die, I know that says like that means he's a terrible person, but he really, really wants to fight the child tax credit, wants it to phase out. The thing that's cutting child poverty in half. He thinks children have had a free ride in this country for too long.
For too long? What,
a
year?
For too long the children have been fed
and watered. Get them back to work.
Yeah, I want
send them back to the mines.
I want these kids to prove that they're trying to earn an income.
They gotta show that they're
I want them drug tested. These kids are going to use this money to buy Nikes.
I think he should start with his grandchildren. Like whatever their net, whatever their income is, like that's how much tax credits everyone else gets.
Joe Manchin opposes the tooth fairy. He's like, you're giving these kids money for losing their teeth?
They haven't done anything. What have these children done for America is the question. What have they done? Have they done anything at all? No, they're just sitting there, just taking food, playing with toys, not even putting their back into it. I mean, how often have you told them to do their chores?
I think Joe Manchin, we should definitely leave it in Joe Manchin's hands. Okay, I mean, that's good because this wasn't going to pass by Christmas anyway. I just didn't understand why nobody was talking about it. And probably because by this point, everyone's like, okay, by Christmas. Yeah, sure. All right. Like, call us when.
But this is the reason why progressives tried as hard as they could to link that bipartisan infrastructure bill with Build Back Better to force their hand. And then the White House undercut them by suggesting that was more important. And now they can't get their signature thing through because, again, Joe Biden really, for some insane reason, thinks that he can reason his way around Republicans who are at this point literally setting up effigies and working on voodoo dolls to try to murder him. And they're literally like just in the middle of the meeting. They're just like sticking pins in the tiny Joe Biden. And he's like, wow, okay, well, let's figure out how we can meet in the middle. They're like the middle of your guts, the middle of your intestines. I would like to see the middle of that. And he's like, okay, let's continue working. Like, sorry.
Yeah, I guess you're right because, I mean, this is – I'm part of the problem because I'm like, where's the urgency? And it was progressives in the fall who were like, no, if we don't do this together, we're going to lose the urgency. And they were 100% right because you're not seeing it. You're not seeing the mainstream news. Like they're finding other things to focus on all the time because they're like, this isn't messy enough. There's not enough at stake. It's kind of complicated.
All it does is talk about how we're going to solve problems, which the Beltway Press is not even the least bit interested in. Have you heard instead of, hey, did you know Republicans are doing something terrible and criminal and no one's going to do anything about it? Let's talk about how they feel about committing all these criminal acts. Republican, how do you feel? How do you feel about being a criminal? Oh, I love it. It's great. You heard it from them. Everything is fine and great.
Yeah. Some people say it's great.
Well, maybe that means that Joe Biden gets out of these meetings with Joe Manchin. And I guess it's like more time to actually give paid leave some consideration. So that's interesting. I've been hearing a lot, too, that he's been talking about the child tax credit. And I wonder if Joe Manchin is like, oh, yeah, I'm not doing paid leave. I just haven't told them yet. Or if he might actually be open to that. But this is back in the House bill, which was exciting. And I just want to remind ourselves how insanely inadequate our country is when it comes to paid leave. 20% of workers in this country have access to it at all, even though 73% support paid family leave. Programs vary, but globally on average, it's about 29 weeks of paid maternity leave and 16 weeks of paternity leave. Experts say 6 months is like the best window for physical recovery if you birthed a child, for positive outcomes for the baby, and to ensure that the parent doesn't suffer professionally. So like there are studies on all of this. It's not really just like a gamble. Like, let's see if giving people time off to bond with kids without potentially falling into poverty would be a good idea. And we're the only industrialized country that hasn't done this yet. So let's get specific about what this paid leave program would do, because I feel like we never really hit on this. It would launch in 2024. It would guarantee, this is a little confusing to me, 4 weeks or 20 work days of paid family leave. So I guess like if you have to work weekends, you don't get a full month. Like, is that what that would mean? This is so woefully inadequate too, and this is what we're fighting for. But this is what we're fighting to hopefully maybe get. You have to have made $2,000 in income over the past 2 years, which is most people, but certainly not all. It specifically tries to catch people who are left out of a lot of the existing programs, and the money is paid to workers through a few different channels. One new program would be with the Social Security Administration. You would submit applications, all that jazz. Workers whose state or their employer already have paid leave programs in place, you just continue to get things through those channels, and then the federal government would then reimburse those states and companies. So where is it getting that money? The federal government will raise that money through a new corporate minimum tax rate and a new tax on stock buybacks. That latter one specifically, it would hit Elon Musk, our friend, pretty hard. He'd have to pay about 8% more on those. So you don't even get your full paycheck. Like, if this is capped, I believe, at about $800 a week or about $3,300 for all 4 weeks. And I believe like that's even if that's what you're making. So like if you're making less than that, it's mm-hmm. the government's not going to pay you more than you would have made at work otherwise. But I'm not totally sure.
We're in the money. Yeah. We're in the money.
This is what we're talking about, is $3,300 for 4 weeks. Like, the policy in this version passed by the House is also accessible to people who are self-employed and members of the gig economy, as long as they meet certain earning eligibility requirements, which, like, I assume that would mean – I mean, as I was doing this, I was like, well, shit, what's Elise going to do when she has a baby? What the fuck do you do?
Well, I mean, luckily right now I have a union. I'm a union worker, and so I have
insurance. Do you get it through SAG?
I get insurance through SAG.
So they'll pay you if you take –
Nice. I believe so, but I'm also not sure. So that's...
And it sounds complicated.
It is definitely complicated. Yeah, I don't actually think that they're like going to pay me through it, but I guess because I just get my health insurance then. So I think that really realistically, it's like I have to save and plan for that amount of time. My jobs are much easier and more flexible than a lot of people who are in that situation. So that's good. But it is something that I think about where it's like, okay, for me to be out however many, I mean, it's going to be up to me to put a plan into place to kind of create a paid leave situation for myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, like, we get so little here that we get a crumb that you're like, I mean, I guess it's good that I wouldn't lose work, but yeah, I'm not getting paid a dime the whole time.
Yeah, or like that I can't, most of my jobs are from home and I could continue working in a limited way where it's like, well, actually, I just don't want to be working. Yeah. Like, I should just not have to work. But yeah,
we don't want you watching writing the Betches sub newsletter with a little top.
Like bleeding.
Yeah, we can't build back bleeding.
Oh no!
I know. I saw that on a bunch of signs. Ugh. Yeah, it's just. I mean, the fact that only 20% of workers have access to this is crazy. It's only 77 because I mean, if you're a like public sector worker, you have some access to it. The Congress has given itself this. It gives the military 3 months.
This is all policy that comes from this very punitive place, which is like assuming, I have no idea where these assumptions come from, but like that, you know, that the natural state of parenthood for particularly the person who's able to give birth, they're assuming femininity and they're assuming that that's like where all of our money and energy should be going. And we should not actually be trying to balance careers and childbirth. We should not be trying to do these things. It is basically a series of penalties to force women out of the workforce. And then you add that to the forced birth movement and you combine these two things and it becomes very obvious that what they're trying to do is basically coerce women into motherhood. And I'm not trying to exclude people who have uteruses who can also give birth from this. It's just that the focus and target is misogynistic in its nature. Mm-hmm. And that's why I'm saying women, mm-hmm. Because that's where it comes from.
Yeah.
This desire to put women into a place and that place is the home and they cannot leave because we can't afford to, because we need to save all of our money from our careers in order to even take a break and have a kid, because we'll be penalized for leaving for a few months because we will take a hit for having a child and splitting our attention. Mm-hmm. All of these things are designed to punish women and to force us into that gender binary again. So I think about that, and I think about just the nature of like American society. Whenever you think there's a benefit that we don't have that everyone else has, it's almost inevitably comes down to racism. Who was raising all of those Southern white babies? You know, they actually had work coercion laws on the books during Reconstruction that were designed for Black women, literally to start calling Black people vagrants if they didn't immediately return to working conditions that were effectively slavery. And specifically, I think there was a North Carolina town that had laws put on the books for Black women specifically to force them back into house cleaning and wet nursing and force them back into that paradigm, regardless of what it is that they wanted to do. So this is extremely common, this notion that like children are a vacation.
Yeah.
Only a man could think that. Yeah. Only a man was like, wow, she gets to stay home all day.
I know. I'm like, definitely half of these senators were in the other room when their kids were delivered.
I know. Like, it's very like teachers get the summer off. Like,
another highly feminized
sector.
Like, nursing is not as hard as being a doctor. Like, you guys, it's harder.
Yeah.
It's harder by far. What the hell?
Yeah, that intersectionality is, like, so important. It's why we always talk about, like, the white supremacist patriarchy, because, like, patriarchy is most effective when it works in white supremacy as well. And these things are built. Yeah, that's a good way of looking at it. It's like, this is such an obvious need. Like, there's something in our system that has been fighting against it aggressively for all this time. And I'm glad, like, women are finally being like, so we launched a social campaign today because I've noticed this year, especially as millennials become moms and we're kind of like social media natives, people are really willing to be like, holy shit, my body is mangled. I am split open. Yeah. This thing takes all my time and attention now. I don't even know how I'm going back in 3 months. Like, I'm glad that we're like encouraging people to make some noise about it. And I don't know if these senators will necessarily care, but I hope that people have an opportunity to see that. No, some of them don't care. Some of them don't care. We might just have to elect I mean, there's women senators in there, too, that are just letting.
Well, yeah, that's what's crazy sometimes is, like, you know, it makes me think about Amy Coney Barrett sitting up there and being like, well, what's the problem with, like, being forced to give birth if you can just leave the baby at an adoption, if you can leave the baby on the doorstep of a church or whatever. And it's like, this is a person who's given birth 7 times. Like, she knows, actually. Yeah. What that means. Again, when you mix white supremacy and the patriarchy, you can get women to do a lot of work for the patriarchy as well.
Yeah. Yeah. It's literally all we want is $3,300 for a month off work.
It's like, I legitimately cannot believe that that is it. Like,
I'm so sorry if I'm wrong about that, but I read that a few times and that sounds like.
No, but like the thing to me is like, it's such a small amount. We are in a society that has locked workers into warehouses during tornadoes. And we're here being like, please, please let us possibly have 1 month with her. Child. Like, literally every other society has figured out, like, if you invest in motherhood, if you invest in parenthood, if you invest in people being able to take care of their bodies and their children after childbirth, you create a more stable environment for your society. And you, if you want to incentivize people having kids because the birth rate continues to drop, and of course, our maternal death rates are nightmarish for an advanced country because of a lot of other reasons in the system. But like, this is insane. It's insane that we're like, oh man, we'll be really grateful if we can get to one fraction of what everyone else, like, who is out here not doing this? Like every other, like not even developed, like we are really behind, like literally everyone. It's insane. It's literally a country. It's like, please, women die.
Yeah.
It literally is trying to kill. I just don't understand it. And again, this is not to exclude other people who could have children. That's not the exclusion, but it's just the nature of the misogyny is so clear.
I mean, it captures men as well when you catch this wide net. I mean, like, men suffer from this as well. I mean, things would be much better in my partnership if when we have a family that I can get like 6 months off if I lived in a country where that can happen.
Well, yeah, and I know, I mean, also, I know that my husband would want that and would be disturbed not to be able to spend time with his child. Like, men, as much as we joke around, men actually have feelings, and they love not their babies. Not all men, but some of them actually do quite love their children and would like to spend time with them when they are babies. And it also leads to the just this absurd craziness that we saw with Pete Buttigieg and Chastin, where people are acting like there's no reason in the world for a man to try to bond with a newborn baby.
Yeah, I mean, my dad was the one who stayed home with me when I was a baby. My mom actually turned around and went back to work.
Right away.
She was the one, because she was the one who was the higher earner at the time. And my dad was the one who, like, stayed home and made sure everything was working. And, like, there was a very equal split relatively in my childhood. And that had a huge effect on me. I mean, not only because I turned out to be like a kind of dad clone, but also because it gave me a really strong connection with my parents that helped me tremendously as I grew and developed. So I had a really good relationship, and that was born out of the early months where I was always with someone, you know? And like, since I know that made a big difference on me, even though I can't remember any of it, we know that carrying that connection is a huge deal, and it's really important for parents, regardless of where they are on the gender spectrum, to be able to connect with their kid, especially in that newness, especially when it's like, yeah, you need like a solid 6 months. And if you've given birth, holy shit, you're going to need time for your body to recover. I don't care what kind of body it is.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's so true. It's like with this, we sort of like tend to focus on like really complicated pregnancies or like physical trauma or really like sick infants. But it's like you're saying, like you deserve 6 months to bond, even in a very best, a perfect case scenario mm-hmm. where you had a beautiful pregnancy, a straightforward delivery, like your infant is healthy, like perfect. You still need 6 months. That would still be great.
Yes.
And I mean, we're like one of seven countries in the world that doesn't have this. And, you know, I mean, I'm sure there are studies on this, but as we've been talking, I'm just like, there has to be a connection between us having an insane amount of school shootings and us not letting parents stay home with kids for a little while. Like something is happening.
Again, it goes to this notion. It's extremely retrograde in ways that don't even make sense. There's this denial of social investment. They do not want to do this investment. Like the United States, whenever someone says like we can't afford something, we're literally the richest country in the history of human existence. There's nothing that we cannot do if that's what we want to do. We simply are saying that we don't want to prioritize this. We don't want to put money behind it. And that's because so much of our economy is extractive, violently so. And if at any moment it stops churning, which is why, you know, for some reason, we just have like a few hundred to 1,000 deaths happening in the background of our days now. And we just say, okay, so 1,000 people are going to die today from COVID. And that's the price of keeping our economy open. And that's fine. And like we have that going on, people being chained. Like this is a situation where it's like, okay, we clearly don't know how to function as an economy when we consider the idea of investing in people. And once you start saying that that's the nature of your society, then it starts being like, okay, so what did those people do that makes them worth so much more investment
yeah.
than me, than my wife, yeah. than my potential kid?
Yeah, it brings us right back to Elon Musk, who has made his fortune partly off of like tax subsidies. And that's exactly it. Like, why is he worth like investing in, which is what you do when you don't have people pay into the government over giving people a month
He's
off.
He's not even from here.
He doesn't even go here.
It's the worst fucking
He doesn't like, even go
he's
here.
He's literally from South Africa. Like, what in the world? He's not American. So he's just literally grifting billions from the American economy with absolutely zero. Was us. Like, we're literally just like feeding this dude's crazy wealth for no reason. There's no, there's not like, oh man, he was like, he grew up here, blah, blah. Like, literally, he's just literally stealing our resources. This is insane. Ugh. You can just move anywhere if you're a white dude billionaire and just be like, yeah, sure, I'm just gonna grift off America for a while. I don't owe them anything. It's cool. I'm just gonna like literally make life miserable for hundreds or thousands, possibly millions of Americans rather than spend any money. And I don't even go here, so it's perfect.
Right, yes, and I'll just continue to tweet not to give ladies, mostly ladies that have just given birth, a few thousand dollars. Oh, that is our show today. Thank you guys so much. Until the end of democracy, I'm Amanda Duberman.
I'm Elise Morales.
I'm Caitlin Bird.
And this is the Betches Sup Podcast. Bye.
The Betches Sup Podcast is produced by Amanda Duberman, Jorge Morales Pico, and Sean Kilby. Editing by Jorge Morales Pico. Social media by Amanda Duberman. Be sure to follow at Betches_Sup on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. And send us your emails to suppod@betches.com. Betches.